Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Anima Holding first half 2021 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Melzi-Deril, CEO of Anima Holding. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, hi to everybody. Thank you for attending our first half 2021 conference call. I will start, as always, with our presentation. And I will start from page 4 with the 2021 highlights. First of all, I would like to highlight that with the first half 2021, we marked our highest level in the group history for total AUM, fixed fees, and total revenues and net profit. We reached almost 198 billion of assets, with plus 1.1 billion of net new money in the semester. 232 million euros of revenues, 188 million euros of EBITDA, plus 30% on the first semester of 2020, and almost 130 million euros in terms of net income, plus 80% if compared to last year. Another important thing that I would like to highlight on the first semester is that net flows are back to positive, and moreover are positive on the retail side, and we keep a positive outlook for the second semester of this year. 2021 net profit, we see that in terms of guidance for this year, we see already the potential to be above last year. Page 5. In terms of net inflows, as I was saying, the net inflows are strongly positive in the first half, 1.1 billion approximately. Retail still negative, but strongly increasing the performance. We are positive on the retail side since April, and so we hope and we believe that we'll be able to turn positive on the retail very soon. Institutional continue to perform very well and positively. Page 6, in terms of business segment, nothing particular to be highlighted. 28% of our AUM on the retail side distributed through retail networks, approximately 55 billion of assets. Institutional, 72% of our AUM, 143 billion of assets. Our strategic partners on the retail side accounts for 88% approximately of the retail. Page 7, looking at our investment performance, we continue this year to increase the distance with the average of the market, the Italian industry. So we increased our capability to overperform the Italian industry, reaching 4.4 in terms of average WAP on the first 6 months of the year. But another very important feature that I would like to highlight is that looking at our breakdown by category, bond and cash are, compared to the market, are significantly below in terms of percentages on the total. This means that our capability to bring our clients and our networks on more risk, on more equity, was positive in the last 6 months at least. Looking at numbers, page 9, consolidated P&L, total revenues up 25% if compared to last year. 232 million euros approximately, with a strong component of performance fees, almost 71 million euros. EBITDA up 30%, up to 188 million euros in the semester. Net income up 80% if compared to 2020, 130 million euros approximately. Adjusted net income plus 32%, 125 million euros approximately. If you look at margins on the right side of the page, the retail margin is up if compared to last year. Last year was 25.2 basis points in the second quarter 2020. Institutional margin continued to grow, mainly due to the profitability that we already explained more than once of the equity component of target date funds that we invest through a funds of funds mechanism. So these basically are funds coming from the retail, but that we account as institutional because are invested from a target date fund distributed on the retail. Total margin up year on year on the second quarter if compared to 2020. Looking at the cost income, we continue to perform very well, also excluding performance fees. And therefore, we continue to keep our and to demonstrate our capability to keep cost under control. On the income tax side, in Q2, we already communicated to the market 1 month ago, we registered a positive one-off of approximately 24 million euros linked to the tax relief on our intangible assets. So this will be a one-off and is taken into consideration in our adjusted net income. Page 10, net fees on the left side of the page. Looking at our net fees, we register our highest historical level in the current quarter. This was driven by net fees, and so this is very important for us looking forward also. In terms of personal expenses, the increase is almost entirely linked to the higher contribution of the variable compensation estimated. These are mainly linked to performance fees, higher level of performance fees, and the overall group result. Page 11, a focus on fixed fees. The core fixed fees continue to grow, and as I said already, are at their historical maximum. Even if we have an average retail AUM lower almost by 1 billion, and this is due to the gross mix effect, to the gross sale mix effect, meaning that we have an higher component of equity in our portfolio. So we reached our historical maximum in terms of equity on the mutual fund side. In terms of institutional margin, the increases are mainly due, as I already explained, to the wrap component. The wrap component are funds, typically equity funds, invested by other funds of the house and accounted as institutional in our numbers. Placement fees, almost back to normal. We registered 2.2 million euros in the quarter, 3 million euros last quarter, so this year we are running at a speed that is very similar to the 2019. Positive trend in terms of administrative expenses, these are items mainly related to the group customer base and the churn of portfolios. Looking at our financial position, net financial position, we continue to generate a quite significant amount of cash. The consolidated net financial position is minus 84 million euros at the end of the half. This strong generation of cash of the company and the strong additional flexibility following the issuance of our second bond in May are providing us with full optionality for capital allocation in terms of ordinary dividends and buybacks, and of course provide us with flexibility in terms of possible extraordinary transactions. So, getting to closing remarks, in this first half, Anima registered a very strong semester in terms of financial indicators, and we demonstrated once again that our company is strong in delivering results. Besides the financials, one of the most important elements of this half is the return to positive flows on the retail side. We are very happy of that. BAMI is performing very well. Monte dei Paschi is performing very well because we turned to a positive path. So, looking at some last year, we said at the end of the year that we were suffering because of the low visibility of the client base on the market, because of the COVID restrictions, of the vaccination still to come. Now that the visibility is increasing and that the situation is normalizing, we are seeing the clients back to our proposal in terms of asset management product. This also proves in our idea that the customer were not investing because of macro uncertainties, basically, and not because of a lack of interest in our model or in the model of our clients, namely banks and post offices. On the institutional side, we continue to perform very well. The flows remain robust. And we have additional mandates in pipeline for the second half. So this is also why we keep a very positive, outcome for the rest of the year. The strong cash generation, exceeding also our expectations, will require thought about capital return to shareholders. In addition to the normal dividend, our guidance, just to remind you, is 50% of consolidated reported net income. This year will be also impacted by the tax relief, as already explained. And this thought will need to be done before year end, also depending on what will happen on the extraordinary transaction scenario that is moving every day. So, I remain available for your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Gianluca Ferrari with Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Ciao, Alessandro. The first question is on the news of the day. So I'm referring to UniCredit opening to BMPF. I think the CEO mentioned the fact that the objective with reference to product factories is to improve the agreement. So my question for you is, what could you bring to the table of the UniCredit CEO? What could be the proposal in terms of new businesses or things like that? If you can elaborate a bit on that, it would be really helpful. The second one is on the other fees. I think in your speech you said that this is mainly due to the so-called rigiri di portafoglio. It seems that the run rate this year is on a much higher basis. So my question is, is that because your banking partners are having a higher rotation on their portfolios, or it is because pricing has changed in a certain way, or there is another technical factor explaining that? Is it fair to say that 9 million per quarter is now a kind of sustainable run rate for this line of the P&L? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Gianluca. On the first question, the odd question of the day. What we can bring to the table to UniCredit. Anima is the first Italian independent player in the asset management business, is the largest. And I think that also based on our reach on the market. We have almost 100 agreements on the retail side, and our capability demonstrated in the last 10 years, I think that we can bring a lot in terms of products, performances, and structuring. We know how to structure and what are the suitable products for the client base typical of a bank. We did it for many banks and also for Poste Italiane, and so I think that we are best in class there. Quality of services. Again, we serve many, many networks. We onboarded in the past several networks, also very large, again, Poste Italiane. Our services are recognized as best in class in terms of training of the networks, in terms of marketing tools, in terms of customization of services for all our clients. Remuneration, this is another feature of this business. In terms of remuneration, we also provided to our partners, long-term partners, remuneration, very interesting, let's say similar to captive, similar or better than captive businesses. And therefore, I think that also there we can provide to UniCredit very interesting, a very interesting proposal. So we will see. In terms of other fees, let's say that 9 million per quarter, I think, is a sustainable run rate level. In the other fees item, there are few things, different things, but again, with the largest voice is very, very much linked to the churn of portfolios, to the coupon that are paid by the different funds. So I think that 9 million could be assumed as a good guidance.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Luigi De Bellis with Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Two quick questions for me. The first one, can you elaborate on the management fees margin for both retail and institutional assets for the second half, on the net inflows trend expected for retail and institutional for the next couple of months? Thank you.
Hi, Luigi. Yeah, I will start from the net inflows. Well, net inflows in the first couple of months, what we are seeing is that we are doing well, both on the retail and on the institutional. Institutional is a little bit more bumpy because institutional depends very much on when new mandates come into force. Retail is more, if you want, steady, but I expect positive results. With different magnitude to be assessed going forward. So that's why I said that my guidance remain positive, because looking at our net inflows daily, I see that the trend is positive more or less across all our clients. And moreover, we have our largest client, that this is the most important thing. In terms of management fees, the quarter was a good quarter, because if you compare the second quarter with the first quarter, we are a little bit higher. My guidance in the last quarter in May was of a margin stable to increasing, and luckily it was like that. And why? Because the market stayed up, and we know that this is very important for our margins, and because the client, what we are proposing to our clients are products with a component, with an increasing component of equity. As we said, in the last 2 to 3 years, we are pushing a lot on our accumulation plan and on our target date funds. We've embedded an accumulation of risk. And this is something that is going very well, and is something also that sustain the yield for the client and the profitability for our company.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ciao a tutti. A couple of questions. One is on the final point on your closing remarks when you talk about potential initiatives to increase the remuneration of shareholders. Are you thinking more about restating a buyback or paying a special dividend? How do you look at this kind of decision? You will wait until it's clear whether you're going to invest into extraordinary deals, or is a decision you may take even in the coming months. And the second question is more going back to the potential transaction between UniCredit and Monte dei Paschi. The CEO of UniCredit today remarked many times that they are looking at a subset of the bank. So I was wondering, in this kind of scenario, your current distribution agreement with Monte dei Paschi, how much protects you in the case that UniCredit do not want to carry on doing business with the current partner of the Monte dei Paschi Bank on the distribution side?
I will start from potential initiatives and buybacks. Well, what I was trying to say in the closing remarks is that buybacks is one of the opportunity, of course. We are today full of cash, as you know, and we are, as I said more than once in the last month, we are, of course, looking at the scenario and the M&A scenario, let's say, moving around us. So I think that the scenario, the landscape will be more clear in the next 2 to 3 months. And so we are starting to think on what to do depending on the different potential outcomes. One of the outcomes also could be the reactivation of a buyback. We are not thinking today, as of today, to a special dividend. UniCredit Monte Paschi, again, I don't know about the structure of the deal. I mean, we will see. Of course, I mean, I read the press release as everybody, and I don't know anything else, any more detail. So we will see how will be the structure. Again, what I can say is that we are in a sector where the model for the banks is to have a captive business or a multi-partnership business. UniCredit today has a multi-partnership business, and I think that Anima, as the largest independent Italian operator, is best in class to serve clients such as UniCredit. So I think that we will be able to play a role, and I hope that we'll be able to play a role based on our capabilities and on what we did with many other clients.
Okay, thank you. Fair enough.
The next question is from Elena Perini with Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got one question about an update on your ESG offer and the assets under management that you have under this type of products. Thank you.
Yeah, hi Elena. Our ESG offer, as you may remind, last year we started with a new system of funds. Initially three funds, today four funds, totally focused with more stringent ESG filters, let's say. These type of funds reached 2.5 billion of assets under management. So I think that we had a significant success and are performing very well. So we are absolutely happy of the performance in terms of net inflows of our funds.
The next question is from Fabrizio Bernardi with Bestinver. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I would go back to the questions asked before about the current distribution agreement with Monte Paschi. Maybe I didn't get the answer, but is there any sort of, I don't think so, but exclusivity regarding this agreement that may, in any case, protect Anima should UniCredit buy 1, 2, 3, 500 or all the branches of Monte Paschi. I agree on the open platform in the sense that today Mr. Orchel said that he doesn't want a vertical integration of the business in terms of distribution and product companies. But in any case, is there anything, any color you may give us about the distribution agreement and the magnitude of protection that this may give you? Thanks.
Yeah, well, the distribution agreement is an exclusive preferential access, as described in all our documents, also Cynthia Pio on. An exclusive preferential access on the network of Monte dei Paschi. So, we don't have specific protections in case of, I don't know, structure of the transaction that may happen that I cannot envisage. It depends how it works, how it will work the transaction. So, there's no change of control clauses, so we will see. I mean, it's very difficult for me to think at different scenarios or transaction structure or something that I'm not leading, actually. So the contract is a contract with the bank with an exclusive preferential access with no change of control clauses.
Fair enough. Thank you.
The next question is from Angeliki Bairaktari with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Just three follow-ups, if I may, please. On the partnership with Monte Paschi, there was an announcement in June from Monte Paschi, which said that the board has actually mandated the management of the bank to negotiate with Anima a potential strengthening of the relationship or potential extension, for example, beyond 2030. Is that something that you are still discussing, or have those discussions now effectively been paused because Monte Paschi's management is busy with, you know, the UniCredit discussions, and you will resume your discussions once we know the outcome of the potential combination between UniCredit and Monte Paschi? That's my first question. Second, can you give us an indication, given today is the end of July, could you give us an indication of the net flows in July, especially with regards to the retail networks? And third question, could you give us an update on the alternatives business segment that you launched recently? Especially what is the level of AUM that you currently have in that business?
Yeah. Well, first question, the renegotiation, you're right. Monte dei Paschi issued a press release if I remember well, mid-June. We discussed with Monte dei Paschi. I mean, we were discussing until yesterday, so let's see. What I expect is that discussion will be put on hold, probably, and then we will see what will happen on the major transaction. This is my expectation, but I'm not sure about that. The second question was flows. Flows in July. We are positive both on the retail and on the institutional. The press release will be issued in a few days. On the alternative business, we started up the business last year. We exit on the market with the first closed-ended fund, a private debt fund. With the fund, among commitment and soft commitment is raised 150, a little bit more than 150 million euros. That was our target. We already started the investment. We invested 40 million euros already, and additional 10 are to come very soon. So we are investing very quickly, and the fundraising is almost over. We are working on a second fund, again on the private debt side. We hired the leader of the team, the leader of the new team, and we will we hope to exit on the market within year end with this new fund in terms of fundraising.
Mr. Melzi de Ril, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time and your attention, and see you soon. Bye-bye, and have a good summer.